You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with two for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, more terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This is Jerry Ayers with Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota, and you're listening to Ghosts in the Valley podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Ghost in the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley. Today I have a special show for you. It's actually the interview I had with a group from New Jersey. They're called Seekers Chronicles Paranormal Historians. Usually when I get done with an episode, I like to talk to the guests for a little bit before signing off. And that's what I did here. But we went almost an hour over just talking about all sorts of topics that it wasn't scripted. So this, I decided instead of just tossing this aside, I was going to put this out, and I think you'll really, really enjoy it. So this is the rest of my conversation with Anthony Simonelli, Jenny Colucci, and Kimberly Geyer from the Seekers Chronicles Paranormal Historians. And we're going to pick up where we left off from the last episode. So I'm going to try to squeeze in the book too. Even though book two is picking up in 1985, like 15 years down the road, you know, from the last book.
Don't tell us too much. No,
I'm not giving too much, you know. Yeah, but
do you go to any of the Paracons to sell your books or anything?
I did three Paracons last year, and some private parties and shows. Oh, I was invited to the Warren, where the book was written about, you know. Mm. In my hometown. So they invited me to the Ghost Walk last October. That was a blast, man. I mean, can you imagine? You wrote a book in your hometown. You're sitting at this church on the corner in Warren, Ohio. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the log cabin that's in the book.
I'm looking at the courthouse behind the Log Cabins of the River. I'm like, wow, man, this is my book. You know, they bring in like 10,000 people a year for this ghost walk. And I met so many different people. And yeah, so book two is coming, you know, probably not till next year, but I got to work on this one still to get, you know, the marketing. Now, that's a tricky part, man. It's
right.
Kind of market it because there's so many millions of books on Amazon. You know?
Wow. Yeah, and, yeah.
Try get you got to yeah. try to hit different routes on how to market that book, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I yeah. love getting out and meeting people, and I'm sure you guys do too. When you go to these Paracons, you love meeting people. That
yes.
Anthony does.
You don't like it, Jenny?
I sort of sit behind Anthony.
I just went to the Hanover Paracon in Virginia, and I got to meet a lot. That's the first time I've been there. That was nice, and I got plenty of people going to show mm-hmm. afterwards. We're booked over into May now, huh?
Yeah.
We're going to be at Gettysburg Bash this year.
Oh, mm-hmm. cool.
So again? We're going to be there again. But then anybody wants to come down. And then this year I was invited to the Massachusetts Paracon. Not Massachusetts, I'm sorry. The Maine Paracon.
Maine
Paracon.
Oh, there's so many out there, you know. And
yeah.
But they're so much fun. I mean,
yes.
Because you meet people.
I enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
No, I do enjoy meeting people. He's just much more the, as you can see, the front man of the band.
So. I'm no front man. That's what the drummer.
He's the drummer.
The boss. I called you the boss, you know.
Yeah, the boss. Yeah. We laughed at that.
Yeah. Well, we all equal.
Italian eight. Boss, yeah. Well, I'm married they to are. Italian, so, you know, I'm married to a Pecorelli, so.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah. Yeah, Colucci.
The Italian boss. I am Italian. Yeah. I am, what is my genetics say? Yeah. 42% Italian.
Oh, my apologies. Oh. Awesome.
That's nice.
Yeah, when I was making wine, I changed my last name from Cooley to Cooliano.
There you go.
No lie, I entered my wine into the in our local wine tasting. You know, I mm-hmm. for yes. four straight years I didn't even come close to winning. The year, my father-in-law told me when he was living, he says, "Be Italian for 1 year." I saw. He says, "They don't know." So I says, "Oh, yeah. I signed the entry form, Alfonso Cooliano."
No,
I won the wine tasting.
Oh my gosh!
You know
that is the best story I've ever heard.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah, bias has nothing to do with anything.
Not right? at all.
Bias, no, never heard of it.
It's the same one I entered the previous 2 years. You know, so, yeah.
Give it a French name.
Yeah,
it makes it fancy. Al.
Yeah.
So Kim and I just finished we were filming a documentary at a local vintage emporium and antique shop.
Oh, cool.
So that's not official yet out there, but we're going to let you know about it. It was Kim and I and several other investigators.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it went really, really well. Like, to me, I feel like the story really unfolded as we went. Like,
I think so, too.
I love documentaries and stuff like that, you know. We're talking earlier about, you know, a lot of these people see all this stuff on Ghost Hunters or mm-hmm. you know, so this is sell the show, that's all it is, you know, because they have to bring those viewers in, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I love the stuff that just like my book, you know. I told people, if you want something that's blood, guts and gore, you know, my book's not for you, you know.
Have
but
fun.
if you want something that's real that happened to me, I mean, then there you go, you know. So
it's authentic.
I was surprised that this did so well so far, you know, because it was, they told me to target the young adult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're the readers,
right? Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I've had people like in their 90s. A lady just a couple weeks ago, she's 92 years old, told me she loved my book. I'm like, oh wow, okay,
that's so cool,
you know.
That's so cool. I wrote a review, obviously.
Doing it. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. You know.
Hopefully,
I know that helps.
Hopefully, work on a book this year. Jenny's going to help me with this. So,
yeah, you should do a book. I mean, with your investigations and some of the stuff you've been doing. I like the one you talked about doing the haunted doll.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Can you imagine my book? It'd be like, that's not a demon. You're not that special. Like, can you envision my attitude in a book? Like,
right. Come
you're
on.
You're not haunted. What's your problem?
Yeah. Well, one of the things we didn't bring up, which we just didn't get to it, was that, you know, religion comes so much into this as far as what spirits believe happens to them after their death. Yeah. And so the ones that find themselves maybe not fully crossed over, which I don't believe it's their soul stuck. I believe it's a portion of their experience and the rest of it actually does move on. But it's like the memory of part of their experience. If they're trying to scare you, they're going to show up as a demon. They're going to show up as a devil. They're going to show up with whatever they think is going to scare you into getting out of their space. So that's why I think it's kind of skewed. A lot of these spirits, there was a demon here. Well, it looks like a demon, but is it really a fire demon from hell?
No. You know, we just move on.
Well, you're talking about Christianity and spirituality. So they're so different.
Totally.
I grew up in one of these churches. If you talk paranormal, you're going to hell, you know. But spirituality to me, ever since listening to this Indian years ago, I'm like, I was so just blown away from his perspective on life. Not just, you know, just from plants and birds and animal. Everything is a living thing has a spirit.
Yes.
And, you know, like you were saying earlier, you know, you won't know till you're dead what is on that afterlife, you know. Mm-hmm. I know when I had my triple bypass years ago, and I came close to passing on the other side, and I was on the table seeing that bright light, feeling that, and it's hard to explain. The last time I had that experience was when we had the total eclipses past summer, and there's a feeling you have that it was so peace and calm on that total eclipse. I had that same feeling in a Cleveland clinic, and I felt like I had this warmth that you can't explain, and I'm headed straight into this bright light. Mm-hmm. And then one of my eyes open is that light is the light above me in the hospital in the room. And it's like, you know, and I'm thinking, well, it just wasn't my time yet. Like in my book, I say Spencer's ghost, the guardian, and I really truly believe I have a guardian. This whole time, do I know who the guardian is? No. Some people know who their guardian is. They name their guardian. I don't know, but I do know I have something protecting me, and I have had for a long time. You know, I should have been killed in that garage when we were shot at in that book. You know, I should have been taken out. We should have been taken out.
Wow. Yeah.
Terrifying.
But I'm thinking, how many times have we been spared?
You know? Yes.
And it just keeps happening, you know, so it's hard to explain.
Your guardian needs a ring.
And I was going to bring it up also on the show, and I didn't bring it up. It was one of my questions. Do you believe in guardian angels, you know, and that they could protect you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know I have 10 lives, more than 9.
Yeah, guardian angels. I know people do believe in that, especially religious people. And if you look at it, it's, you know, guardian angels pretty much a Catholic type of thing. Every religion has their own
Like purgatory and
they have their own story of some entity trying to protect them, or some kind of god or something like that that's protection of them. So we call it angels. I mean, to me, they're all spirits. They really are. I mean, they're not there, and I know I came across a lot of near misses a lot of times, and I'm like, how the hell I make that out of there, you know? And or like you get like you're gonna do something and you don't do it, and everybody else does it and you don't do it because you have a feeling, and they all get hurt and you not. So stuff like that. So I feel that that's inside people too. Like these spirits might come to you and say, hey, listen, maybe it's a family member, you don't know.
Like ancestors in some cultures.
Yeah.
Right. And you can have like ancestral relationships with past lives.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I've had a couple of guests on before that dealt in that past lives. One book is called Past Lives Matter. So what she did was she took you back in time through hypnosis. So if you have, like, say, something ran rapid in your family, like, say, breast cancer, you have breast cancer. Your mother died of breast cancer. Your grandmother died of breast cancer. Your great-grandmother. She'll take you back to 18, like the early 1800s, right?
Yep.
When it first started. And you should, on her theory is you have to nip it in the root to solve the weed. You know, so you're not going to kill a plant by just chopping it off at the top, right? You got to get to the root.
That's an interesting theory.
Mm-hmm. Well, so how I understand is everybody has a spirit team, and I don't really feel like there's a limit to the spirit team. Could be animals, could be plants, it could be a guardian angel, it could be a family member, but there's a whole group of spirit team that's there for different parts and places and purposes. And for the places where they intervene, there's usually a reason for that. Mm-hmm. But they don't always intervene. Does that make sense? Like sometimes you are supposed to be having the experience you're having, and that's how it's been written. But as far as like this ancestry part with, so time is debatable, but cyclical or spiral. People say spiral or there's no time really at all. So if you do a healing here, you are sort of almost healing the origin of that as well, and vice versa. So if you go back to the healing.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Origin, whenever the healing, the generational trauma or whatever happened generationally, go back and heal it there. It, in theory, clears it out all the way to the present.
In theory, yes.
But vice versa, if you clear it in the present, it does like circle back. It's interesting.
And you talk about circling, like the indigenous people believe, and definitely going right, left to right. So you're going to clockwise. Mm-hmm. You always go clockwise. So every time they enter a teepee, they go clockwise. Mm-hmm. You never go counterclockwise. You, because they're there is you move forward, not backwards. So when you, that's why most people, when you stir your coffee, think about it, you stir clockwise.
Yeah, I'm left-handed. It's not going to happen. I go the wrong way.
I mean,
I go
in Australia?
No, I go counterclockwise, but I'm left-handed.
Okay, well, and I always bring my coffee up and let drip up back down roll because he told me to get, that's how you get the spirits all the coffee is to sort of fall back in the cup. That's just a little mental thing on my end, but
no, it's those are things that we do, right? Like I love that. That's fun.
I feel the spirits. A lot of times, they come to us when we don't know us to help us to get us through bad times. Especially, you know, you talk about guardian angel and stuff like that. And I feel my mom comes to me a lot of times if I'm feeling bad or if I'm really low or something like that. And maybe it's more of a comfort that I feel is my mother than some other entity coming to me, but to me, I feel they come to you when you're at your lowest. Usually, the person that you're the closest to, or you love, or whatever. That's what I feel.
Well, they're your support team.
Yeah.
They're supporting you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Not just in those times, but that is a time when you need support. So yeah, they're gonna definitely show themselves.
See why I hang with these guys? They're so positive.
I got a story that I might have told Jenny or that Kim already, but. My mom, was sick, and like a whole month of August, I had to take her to chemo and stuff like that. And she had lung cancer. She's been, you know, for a while going through all this. So her birthday was January 31st. This is 2012. And so 31st, she's turned 72. So, but she was just going, we just had to put her back into it's not like a old age home, but it's like a rehabilitation type of center because she's still going, you know, still learning and stuff. So we went to her birthday. She just turned 72 and she goes, I'm happy I made 72. And my, don't worry, you're going to be around. I'm happy I made 72. So we had like, we bought her some gifts and stuff. And, you know, and we was, the whole family was there and her best friend was there with her boyfriend. So she's like, Anthony, you know, and she's always, because I'm the oldest, so I have a lot of responsibility. My father's never around, so. And so I'm like, and she's like, Anthony, I'm getting a little tired. Maybe you guys, you know, want to leave a little bit. So, okay, Mom, if you're getting tired, we'll leave. All right. So everybody wish happy birthday. I was the last one out. I said, Mom, I'll see you. And she goes, good night. Bye. I'm like, all right. I'm not thinking anything of it. Next day, I'm on my way to work. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning. And I'm jumping on the Jackie Robinson Expressway. It's over by my house. I look up into my mirror, and I see a face in the back of my car. It was like a white glow. My mom's face comes up, and she smiles at me. So I'm getting on this road. So I'm looking, and so by the time I look back, she was gone. So I call my wife up. I'm like, Laura. I said, I just see my mom's face in the back of the car because they all know I got the ability to see stuff. So I'm like, I see. And she goes, what do you think it is? I said, I don't know, but I'm driving right now. So I called my brother up. At the time, he was on the train. He worked in Manhattan. And I was headed to Brooklyn. So I live in Queens. So I was heading to Brooklyn. So I was trying to get him. And he must have been on the train because he had no service. So I get to work in Brooklyn. I pull up and I get out of my car and I go in. I'm like, and I'm telling my partner at work, I'm like, you know, Mitch, I just see my mother back. And goes, what do you think that is? So I don't know. At that time, my brother calls me up. And I said, Gerard, I just see mommy's face in the back of the car. I'm going to call up the where she is. So I called her up. And they were checking her vitals at that moment when he called her up. And he couldn't talk to her. They're checking her vitals. And they said, we're going to rush her to the hospital. I told my brother, I'm coming. I said, get to a train station in Brooklyn. I'll come and get you. So I went to get him, and then we went to the hospital. It was in Forest Hills, Queens. We get there, and she's there. And she has the oxygen on. She's laying, and she keeps on grabbing my hand and my brother's hand, and she's saying, I love you. I love you. I love you guys. And she had the oxygen on. She kept on taking it off. I said, Ma, leave it on. I was like, and then she goes, I love you. And they tell the kids I love them and all that, you know, all this stuff. And then she passed.
Wow.
But the whole thing is, when we had the funeral, my brother told that to the priest. And everybody at the funeral kept on saying, you seen your mother? You seen your mother? The priest comes up to him. He goes, your mother gave you a gift. She knew you had her ability. She came to you. But she knew you were the one that was the one in charge or took care of things.
Makes sense.
It came to you and you got your brother and you came. If she didn't come to me that morning, she would have died by herself.
You wouldn't have made it. Yep, Coast you would Hospital. Never have made it. Oh,
so I was God, in Brooklyn. He was downtown Manhattan. So she actually called to me to get us together. So she didn't die by herself.
Jeez.
And, you know, and I hear that a lot, you know, where.
Really?
Yeah, right. And especially when people that die and then they call, say, their loved one they've had a feud with for, you haven't spoke to your brother for the past 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And your brother calls you. Well, it happened to me, one of my friends. It called him like 1 o'clock in the morning. I said, why is Robert calling me at 1 o'clock in the morning? Because we don't talk. Mm-hmm. And, well, yeah. It had to be something important. So, yeah. What do you want? And he's like, what do you want? You know, he's like, I just want to tell you, I'm sorry. I love you. You know, and we've held this thing for all these years. It was his voice talking about stuff that only him and his brother would know.
What?
And it says, I just want to let you know, you take care of yourself. What's wrong with you? He says, nothing. I just want to let you know, I miss you. I love you. You know, and he found out the next morning, well, his brother had passed away like 7 hours before that phone call.
Oh my God.
Wow. So, you mean
I love how Kim's like, yep, yep. Like, I love when people say stuff and Kim's like, yep.
I know.
Oh my God.
It's like, and Kim's like, yep. Normal. It's just so normal to me. I don't know why it's so normal to me, but it's just like, yeah.
When you tell somebody like that, oh, that was somebody playing a joke on, or somebody. He says, "No, man, I'm telling you, it was his voice. It was him that knew about our same tattoos we had, and they talked like everything was fine. You know, he was so joyful that they finally had this connection again.
Yeah,
you know, and it would happen. Yeah, right. You know, and yeah. So that story about your mom, Anthony. I think she knew you had the gift, so she told you to relay it.
And it's weird too, because that night of her birthday, she wanted one of those transistor radios. So I got her a transistor, and she didn't even get to use it because she passed the next day. And I took it, and I brought it to work. I was working at the Javits Center in Manhattan. It was a car show going on. So we get these carts, and we put our radio on, and you walk from spot, you get your ticket, you know, you do what you got to do. And I was telling my partner that he knew I had the ability, and he called me the real-life Ghostbuster all the time, or Tony the Ghost Guy. And he introduced me to everybody. He's a Tony the Ghost Guy, yeah. I was telling him what happened. I had my mother's radio, and I put it on, and Sweet Child of Mine came on by Guns N' Roses. Awesome. And the funny part, the part about that is that my mother used to listen to that when she was home. You can walk in, my mother's listening to Guns N' Roses. I said, "Wow, you're so cool," you know?
This gets better. That was
like the song that she wanted, because my brother used to hear, and we used to kid her about that, you know?
Yeah.
And when I turned the radio on, that was the first song. I said, "That's my mother's song right there." That's, you know, so that's cool. The song that she related to us, Sweet Child of Mine. And it was, I was like, everything went. And now every time I think of her, I find a quarter.
Sounds like you're not the only one who had gifts in your family. I think your mom may have had some gifts,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, she did. She did. But she comes from a generation that didn't talk about it.
Right, but I think you may have gotten it from her.
And stories about even my great-grandmother.
Right, because his brother's into the paranormal also.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Bingo. Yeah. And Al, you know the gentleman you talked about. I mean, let's be really skeptical. Even if it was a dream, it's still amazing.
Yeah.
Like, even if he, like, I believe you and I believe him, but let's say you don't, right? And you think, oh, you dreamt it. That's still incredible.
Yes.
Right. What's incredible is he told me that story, right? And I did a show a couple of years ago on past lives, phantom phone calls.
When did you do this? Because I got to listen to it. Can I write it down?
It's in my archive somewhere.
Really? Yeah, no, I'm serious.
Phantom phone calls. And it was almost the same story. It's like I say, when you get a story that somebody else shares, it's almost identical.
Yeah.
And I
want to look that up.
Phone calls, voicemails. People have had voicemails or a phone number that they thought they didn't have in their phone anymore. Mm-hmm. Somebody calls, the name pops up, and they're not alive.
It happened to Anthony, I think, with me.
What? The phone call.
Didn't you get a phone call? Yeah.
I got a couple phone calls.
Or no, you called somebody. What happened was,
this is right after my mom passed. And my brother, he was working down, because, you know, with the towers going down, everything, they were still working on stuff. I'm an electrician, and my brother worked in a shop for electrician, and they were replacing items down there, especially at the post office down there. And I called my brother, and my mother was cremated. And I call him up, you know, to tell him I just picked up the ashes for mom and everything. And I get on the phone, and my old guy, "Help, I'm burning." And so being a paranormal investigator, I go run. I got my iPad. And back then, cell phones weren't really, you know, like today, you could record everything. So I got my iPad, and I recorded everything on my iPad, what I could.
This was at the towers.
The towers were still down. They were being fixed. They weren't. It wasn't all done yet.
Right.
They didn't really start doing that until like
2000 years.
Yeah, like 18, 19. I get this, and I'm listening to this thing. And it's like, "Shh, I'm burning. Shh, help me. Shh." And I'm thinking, I'm calling my brother down where this is happening, where all this happened. And I'm getting this message. So I'm like, I didn't say nothing. I just kept the recording. I was listening to it and stuff. My brother comes to me a couple days later and goes, "I got this weird recording Something called me. Somebody called me up. I don't know who it was. Doesn't have any ID. Back then, there was ID on the phone. And he goes, call me up, and you got to listen to it. The same message I had on my end. And but he had the full version because it went right into voicemail on him. And it goes, and I have it. I have it on my old iPad. My iPad is like the first iPad out there when it first came out. He goes, help, I'm burning. Oh, God. Yeah, it gets really.
That's horrible.
Yeah, and it was right there where the, you know, he was right at the post office that was right there on Church, like right there on the corner. So I worked there also.
I know it. This is like going to be a 20-part episode, Al. We're sorry. We could do this all night.
Yeah, I mean, I love when these things happen because it's paradigm shifting for your friend, Al. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is light. I mean, literally what you think is possible here is not all that's possible here. No. I mean, front and stop. I mean, if anybody has learned anything from the paranormal, it is that question.
I'll just give you an idea of the realm of what we live in. If you take a sewing needle and you hold it out arm's length from yourself and you look through that hole into the sky, looking through that hole, you look at a whole sky, vast sky behind that little needle, right? Mm-hmm. That little hole is our universe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what is out there? What's beyond us here and there? So, like you're saying, I mean, almost anything is possible. And I don't believe in, like I said, I don't believe in coincidence. But I believe everything happens for a reason. I believe there's a reason why your mom contacted you. There's a reason why my friend's brother contacted him. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason why the stuff happened to me in that house, you know, as a child.
Right.
Yes.
The reason you survived. There's a reason you survived.
I survived once and again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a reason, you know.
Right.
Maybe my story's not, my story's still there to be told.
Right.
Kim asked me on your show, why did it take me so long to write that book? You know, why now? Because it just wasn't feasible to write it back then. I was like, nobody, you didn't have internet. So if you were to talk ghost, or your house is haunted, they're going to come lock you up, man. Smoking dope, or you're drinking, or can you imagine me calling the warrant of the police and saying, I need to come out. There's some running upstairs going on, but there's nobody here.
Oh yeah. Now there's shows about it. Now there's like ghosts of Morgan City, ghosts of what, you know, ghosts of Shepherdstown. Now there's shows about people calling the police saying there's people running upstairs.
I like the things that's informative. I learn on this show. Mm-hmm. I love when I learn new stuff on this show and different perspectives.
This is why I love Al's show. This is it. These are all the reasons I love your show.
Your view may be different than mine, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And when I first started out, I didn't quite think that way. I was thinking this guy's nuts because he doesn't believe in heaven or hell, right? He believes that if you move a spirit on, you're killing that spirit. Because what are you moving a spirit onto? You're not moving on to heaven and hell because you don't believe in that. His thinking is you can move it to a different realm as being maybe here on Earth or to another dimension. I didn't get to agree with that. But then the more you can change over time and think maybe he's not too far off on.
Right.
Because my thinking is one way and his is another. Who's to say I'm right? Like Anthony said, when we die, we'll know if what we've been taught all through church, if that's true or not.
Right.
I'm hoping that there is a greater being out there. There has to be. Mm-hmm. With all these planets in space and life. So there has to be something bigger than us.
Mm-hmm.
I love learning. I just found out last year what a woodburger was. It's a Bigfoot.
That's so funny. Wow.
Sasquatch. And I thought, well, I didn't know that. Yeah.
There's so many names for them. It doesn't.
There's so many, right?
Location.
Yeah, but those are the best podcasts where you are learning because we're learning with you. That's why I love your podcast because, like, you love to learn.
What a fae was.
Right, fae.
You know? And I had a fae witch on the show, you know, so she's a fae witch.
Yeah, be like,
you know.
Don't make them mad.
Yeah.
Don't piss off the fae.
They weren't to be messed with, you know.
No.
And
no, they are not to be messed
and
with.
People think of like little fairies, like Tinkerbell or whatever, you know. And they're not like that.
they're not good at all.
You know, that's why I love this show, you know, because I have people on here that I can, that sometimes just blow my mind, you know.
Yeah. Like, you can suspend your disbelief sometimes, and it's good to do that.
Melanie Kirchdorfer, she was on Unsolved Mysteries. She was on my show, and she shut down my whole system. She shut down my whole house.
Wow.
You know, and when she called me back and said, did I do that? I said, yes, you did. See, to her, being on Unsolved Mysteries wasn't a good thing. She didn't want to go out there and promote. She got abducted. She said, it wasn't a good experience for her. You know, so she had to go through her, that she can't walk through an airport without shutting down. She can't ride on a jet because she can shut down the computer. She can't go near a microwave because she shuts off the microwave.
Mm-hmm.
She shut my lights off in my house. She called me back. Did I do that? I said, well, somebody did it. You know, when I got everything back, was her file.
Yeah, I would love to read her.
She is such, and she won't do any. And I asked her, I was doing an update on she was there in the, it's called the Berkshires over the UFOs over the Berkshires. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix, and it was a new, one of the newer Unsolved Mysteries. And I had the director of that show plus three other shows that was on Netflix on my show talking about that. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's so interesting to get these people's perspective on what happened to them. Her case was, and ever since then, she says she's stepping away from it because it's just too much for her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which just makes it more believable. It makes it just more believable because it would be too much if it really happened.
You think
to you,
these
right?
people are getting paid big money. They're not. They get paid any money on Netflix.
No.
They're sharing their, but Netflix is making billions of dollars off this, this stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a very strange perspective on this, but this is actually like what I'm feeling as we're talking about her. So we were talking about how like sometimes entities can become attached to people.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like she actually has alien entities attached to her. And so it's not actually coming from her. It's actually it's their
She's energy. Not shutting it down. They are. Is that
She's
what you're saying?
Not. Exactly. She's not, but it's because they're with her for whatever contact that happened. I'm not entirely sure what the story is.
Uh-huh.
You get a chance to watch that on Netflix. It's UFOs over the Berkshires.
Yeah.
Unexplained.
Is it called UFO Double What?
Unsolved Mysteries.
Unsolved Mysteries. It's UFOs over the Berkshires.
I'll send it to
Berkshires.
You. Yeah. I know it. Yeah.
I watch it tonight.
And I've had all the people on my show, though, that were abducted. I had Tom Warner, Tom Reed, Melanie Kirchdorfer. All of them were abducted.
Yeah.
I'm never sleeping tonight. I'm going to be watching all that. I'm going to be looking up that episode of Ghosts in the Valley.
It was so cool that, I just reached out to him because I watched the thing. And I said, I can't get a hold of them. And I said, I'm just gonna go and I'm gonna research and see how I can get a hold of them. I got a hold of every single person I contacted was on my, and I did an 8-part series on it. So I had the video photographer photography on, the special effects person on, the director of the episode on, you know, and it was so cool because you know, they all had a different story, you know. Mm-hmm. The thing of it is, that night that happened, it was September, I think, I'm going off real, so September 1st, I think it was 1969, I believe. During that time, that wasn't the only place this happened at. So it happened all through Northeastern, and the way these things traveled, it went through New York, went through Pennsylvania, Ohio, Massachusetts. Thousands of people were seeing these things, right? Mm-hmm. And they made a show of it, but they picked the Berkshires, but she don't really want no part of it. But she agreed to be on my show, which I'm honored, really.
Yeah.
And we're still friends. We still text back and forth through Messenger.
So cool.
And because I respect
That's
her
cool.
a lot, you know.
I got to watch that tonight.
Yeah, really. it's really interesting. And mm-hmm. She's still, if you watch that show, she's still the same today as she was in that episode.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And
I've seen it, but I've never watched it. I've mm-hmm. seen that it's out there, Unsolved Mysteries, but I didn't.
Paranormal, UFOs, and all the Bigfoot and all that, those creatures. Some locations, they actually think they have something all related. But sometimes it's all of them in one location, you know? And
yeah.
especially with the aliens and with paranormal.
Right.
Like some of the stuff that we see, how do you know it's not something from another planet?
Right, like there's a Bigfoot could be that's like extraterrestrial, because a lot of, they're saying now wherever you see a Bigfoot, you're seeing a UFO sighting around a body of water. So, and I, that was out to me. I had him on my guest, Jerry Ayers. He's a paranormal investigator, I think, out of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically goes after Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. And he asked me a question that kind of took me back, because I wasn't even thinking about it. You know, did I think that Bigfoot and UFOs were connected?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
how do you mean? Yeah, exactly.
I never thought about it, you know. But then since that episode, I've had tons of telling me how they could be connected. And not only that, but your 411 cases of the missing in these recreational parks are connected. You know, mm-hmm. how can a little boy that's missing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's found 10 minutes later, that would have taken him maybe 3 hours to hike there. So how did he get from point A to point B
mm-hmm.
in that short amount of time?
Yeah.
And that's really, if you look up those cases, those 411s, they're really
it's just something
unsolved. I mean, what happened to these people? And there's thousands of them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, you could really go down the rabbit hole with that.
Right.
You really could.
Especially with the aliens,
and I will. Stuff
like that. Like I said, we don't know what, and Bigfoot and everything, sometimes they think they slide in and out dimensions.
That's my interpretation of them.
Well, where's those dimensions go to? Is it another alternate planet like we have? Or is it another world that they're actually going to, like a wormhole, going to another world? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, we have all these different theories on this. You don't know. Because it's like a slip in the dimension.
That's exactly how I feel like Bigfoot is. It's like a slip of the dimension, which is why you see it briefly, and then, like, that's it.
It has to be.
Yeah.
The aliens, I don't know. I don't really mess with them. I don't really try and contact them. I don't get very good feelings from the ones that are contacting most people.
What I'm doing now, I'm doing a bunch of research on the white-eyed kids. Have you heard of the black-eyed kids?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, now they have the white-eyed kids.
I didn't know that.
So, and they're more supposed to be more evil than the black-eyed kids.
What is this?
Black-eyed children?
Black-eyed children. Right.
No, you never heard of mm-hmm. black-eyed children?
No.
I thought you may have seen it on TV.
That's been talked about for years.
Yeah.
40s, 50s. Yeah. With these children. Sometimes, like I said, maybe they all slide between dimensions. Maybe they're all coming from other planets and stuff like that. But remember when, when human beings or the evolution of human beings, when we started, you know, becoming like what we are now, there was another group that was still not formed yet. Mm-hmm. They just disappeared off the planet. So how do you know they didn't go underground or they went somewhere else and they're still around?
Right.
You know, maybe that is our alternate. Our alternate planet, you know, our alternate universe on our own planet. Maybe it's still them.
Yeah.
And maybe they got sightings of human beings on this side.
Yeah.
You know? So maybe that's what happens.
When I first started this podcast, I'm thinking of ghosts and spirits.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about getting into UFOs, Bigfoot, Bay,
mm-hmm.
curses,
right?
All that. You know, it just progress and people, my friend would love to come on your show and talk about the Fae. She's a Fae. I didn't know what that was, mm-hmm. you know, and doppelgangers.
Oh, you know, my favorite.
So, my brother called me. So you didn't tell me why the hell did you come to Georgia? You're in Atlanta and you didn't come visit me.
Oh no.
I said, Randy, I'm in Ohio, man. He says, no, I just seen you. Now, this is my brother. I just seen you at Bob Evans in Atlanta.
Oh.
It looked like me.
Oh, creepy.
And he talked like me. His mannerisms were like me.
Was this after a UFO podcast?
No, I agree with you. He does look like me. I says, but I'm here. I haven't been to Atlanta in 7 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting. So then I started doing research on doppelgangers,
mm-hmm.
on how there's supposed to be like three of you, around somewhere in this world that there's three
forbid.
Of you that talks like you, looks like you, and acts like you.
Three of me.
Al, I saw my first and only doppelganger with Kim.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Who was it?
Richard, remember? I saw Richard in the mine. Remember?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. We were on a hike in a haunted mine.
And isn't that mind-blowing that you see somebody that's identical to...
Well, he was there, but I saw him in a different place that he wasn't at the place.
Well, that's weird.
Mm-hmm. So, like, she saw Richard, who's alive, who's here, who's in the place, but not where he was. Like, you saw him up on the hill behind...
I saw him between, like, we were in a mine, on haunted mine.
Like an apparition?
Like no.
An apparition of him?
No, like, he was there, and I talked to him. Like, I said, how did you get in there? I want to take a picture for Facebook. That's a great picture. He was coming out of a mine shaft. You know, like, it was a haunted mine. Like a, you know, an abandoned mine.
Building, and crumbling,
And he didn't answer. And then when I saw, I guess, Richard, I said, how did you get in there? I want to take a picture. And he said, I was never in there. And I didn't believe him. So I went up and around and I realized you can't get in there.
Yeah, I do remember this.
So I didn't believe him because I saw him there. You know I did. So I saw Richard. So, you know, he was no more than 10 feet away from me. Like here, he was right there. And I interacted with him. That's how much I saw him. I talked to him. And then he said, no, I was never in there. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I don't believe you. And I went around and there's absolutely no access.
And it's like, you know what they call, some of those things are called like shapeshifters.
Yeah, that's Richard, a shapeshifter. Okay, he's our friend.
Yeah. He's into the UFOs.
He's into the UFOs.
Anything is possible. He is into the UFOs.
I seen Doppelganger. I went to Misery Cemetery in Long Island. And supposed to be a haunted location and stuff. And I was there with a couple of people. They took me there. There was one girl, Missy, and she was walking in front of me down the road. I said, hey, Missy, wait up. Missy. I hear behind me, everything okay? I turned around. It was Missy.
No way.
She wasn't there. And she was a full body. I seen her. And she was
right. Maybe about 10. Close 10, enough. 15. Same thing. Yeah. And I know Richard clearly.
Yeah. So I seen that.
During the day.
Yeah, during the day.
Burlington Prison, I was down the basement, down the bottom floor, and I at the time, this was quite a few years ago, and I had DVR cameras going and stuff, so I was setting up my DVR camera, and I hear my brother, Anthony, so I come up to say, what's the matter? He goes, I just seen you go upstairs, I was calling you, because I seen you going upstairs.
Wow.
And he actually seen my body going up the stairs, and then and I came up from downstairs. He's like, I just seen. So we ran up there. He ran up one side. I ran up the other side. So if anybody up there, we catch him between and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. So
yeah, it brings me into my mind, actually. So one of the reasons why motorcycles are so dangerous to drive is because you're not looking for motorcycles on the road.
Right.
So your brain is automatically looking for cars. And it literally cannot see motorcycles. It's there. Right. Your eyes are looking at it, but your brain isn't processing it. So,
because you're thinking that's what's going to hit you as a car.
So that's why a drunk driver hit me with my bike.
So, So what's interesting is I don't know how much of what Jenny saw or what Anthony saw or what the picture, I guess, if it's a picture, I guess you can't really refute that if it does really look like you. But what Anthony and Jenny saw, like if your mind is very powerful, very potent, and if it really believes there's something there, will it show you something there?
Right. Because you don't see with your eyes, you see with your brain.
Right.
Right.
Versus
Third eye.
Versus an actual apparition.
No, physically you see with your brain. Yeah.
By now I know a difference between an apparition and something standing there.
Oh, yeah. Wait till I disappear.
Still possible. Your brain is seeing something that actually isn't there.
I mean, I just came out and she was walking in the road and I said, hey, and then I called for it. She's behind me.
So to me, you could have just put her there with your brain, like picture of her.
Yeah.
Well, I knew it. See, I was thinking about that when I had seen that person as a ghost, as a child. I'm thinking to myself, I'm not dreaming this.
No.
I'm not making this stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm already saying it to myself. So I know it wasn't a hallucination.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm looking right at her.
Right.
As a hologram.
So cool.
That's the best way I can explain. I can explain. Like I can see through her
so cool.
As a person.
Yeah.
It wasn't long. It wasn't a long type. They didn't say nothing. She didn't say nothing. It was bam, bam, gone. You can't make that up. I mean, no. It's like okay, I seen something, the image moving. No, it was her, and I haven't seen her for 4 years. You know, yeah, I've got the signs here, there, and everywhere, but actually seeing her as a being, it was the first day we moved in, and then we moved out. So it's like, it was just so unreal.
Right.
And that's okay. I thought, you know, I'm good with that. I know what I've seen. That's why I wrote the book. I put it out there before I'm gone, you know, and my kids, even when they read the book, you know, my daughter goes, I said, well, how'd you like the story, Natalie? And she goes, Dad, I've heard these like 1,000 times. So I must have been saying it all along, you know.
Well, I'm glad you wrote it down.
Yeah. And honestly, some of the best paranormal experiences are so real that it's not even like you're afraid. You're just like, what?
Yeah, I wasn't afraid. Like, wow. Laying in bed, at first, I had my covers up, like looking like I think I see something. So when I brought the covers down, I'm looking right at her.
Right.
So I wasn't afraid. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a scared feeling. It was like, I was so happy because I was kind of sad that we were, you know, it was like I said, the thing I told you before, I wanted to move out of the house for 4 years. Couldn't wait to get out of there because it was so haunted. Mm-hmm. But knowing that last week we're going, I know the end date's coming up. This coming Friday. The end date's coming. And from Monday through Friday, nothing, no activity, nothing, no pounding on the walls, no up the steps, no nothing.
But it makes sense.
And I'm feeling sad. You know, I don't know how to explain it. Like,
well, because you know it's ending. You're empty.
I'm not going to have this relationship with Alice, as I called her. I just felt like I'm leaving and there's not even a goodbye.
Yeah, no closure. Yeah.
No closure. It was that night before. And I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Like,
right.
And I'm looking right at her. Now, do I tell my mother what I seen? You know, no, because I knew what I'm going to get blasted at.
Right.
So
we saw that in the book.
Right. You know, so
poor little, I'm poor little guy. But,
you know, you see apparitions and shadow figures. And but when you see like a hologram of a person.
Right. Or a person, like a solid person.
A solid person.
Which I've seen.
It's like 3D. It's like, you know,
it's like
looking at a person, you're seeing through it. Yeah.
And I get that feeling even today. I wish Kim lived closer so she'd come to this place I'm talking about, because I can go by the property tomorrow.
Oh, that would be so cool. Road trip.
Oh, I plan on doing that this summer. What I want to do, a live broadcast, maybe either do Facebook, and I want to go to the places I have mentioned in the book.
Oh, my God.
I'll have a couple, maybe a couple of the characters are still living with me at the park bench in downtown the courthouse. Mm-hmm. And you'll see the log cabin I'm talking about.
You should watch that, Kim, and do like a
I would love to.
Well, if you need anybody to take along with you, I think you got 3 volunteers here.
Yeah, look at us.
Oh, I got a place, too. Oh, I got another place for you to go to, too. It's near me. Well, about 60 miles from here. That I went to his house. It's extremely active.
Really? Yeah.
Ohio you're in Ohio.
What is, right? I know. What's the deal with Ohio?
I know. Honestly, I think it has a lot to do with the Native American stuff that happened.
It does. Yeah. And that's exactly. I was going to touch on that. I did my book signing in Warren. One of the councilmen came to the book signing, and he was telling me that my house and the whole area has to do with Indian burial grounds.
Yeah. Really?
It's a very active place that they just...
Potent. It's like more potent.
Yeah, why? Everything is in Ohio, it sounds like. Like Massachusetts, Ohio.
And then we have a lake here called Mosquito Lake. You know, it's a man-made lake, 10 mile long lake. Mm-hmm. And you know how you take down buildings and you put your lake in it. Well, they never closed up these. They never closed up the basements. So the basements, you could be in maybe a 8 foot, 7 foot, maybe when the water's low, 5 foot water going out maybe 30, 40 yards. And then all of a sudden, bam, you're dropped into a cellar. Or there's a couple cemeteries that they built the lake over top of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They never got rid of the bodies.
Flooded the whole area. They flooded towns out, and there was cemeteries there, mm-hmm. the whole town. And you go underwater, because I think I seen a show like that. They go under, and there's buildings still there.
Right. You can see the smokestacks. Right. Wow. The chimneys.
That's like a horror movie. They start floating mm-hmm. up.
They did that in Bhutan Reservoir, right next door to me. Bhutan Reservoir. I went there, did a reading. I had no idea. I'm like, there's people coming up from the water. Like,
oh my God.
Like children, women, men, like of all ages. So then I went into the history books and that was where the poorhouse was. The poorhouse was where the reservoir is now. And mm-hmm. there is record of a cemetery and it just was lost to history.
I had no idea.
You wonder whether there's activity.
Right. Yeah. Right. Like really people.
Yeah.
They did an investigation and they actually put a microphone under the water.
Oh yeah.
I remember this.
And they heard screaming.
I remember this. It was crazy.
They heard voices under the water. And there was nobody on the water. It was like during the wintertime. It was always cold. So nobody was out there on the beach and everything because it's an active lake. People go up and down with their boats.
Yeah.
When I do this fly podcast, I planned on this summer coming up. We have about a half mile up the road, there's a place called Pioneer Cemetery. It sits right behind the American Red Cross.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely, extremely active because there's graves on top of graves.
Mm. Oh.
They're graves without headstones. So we have, right now, honestly, God, Google it. The Youngstown State University and Historical Society out of Warren got a grant, and they're right now using ground-penetrating radar to try to properly give these people a proper burial. Mm. So from that cemetery all the way up to where I'm talking about, to the log cabin, is extremely haunted. Because at that church, First Presbyterian Church, sits on a corner. There's an underground tunnel that goes from that church to the river. And they used that as the underground railroad from slavery's back.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so there's so many deaths that happen in that area.
Mm-hmm.
They boarded up the entry that comes in from that tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they closed the tunnel off at the other end by the river as well. But that whole area, and I live maybe the house I'm talking about, maybe a mile from that area. Mm-hmm. So it gives you an idea of the vast area of graves that were built on top of.
Wow.
And I believe that the house that I grew up in mm-hmm. is built on burial grounds.
I couldn't agree more.
For some reason, it makes the energy more potent, and I will say more powerful and often more aggressive. Like, we don't have those kinds of hauntings in New Jersey. Like, I've never heard of those kinds of degrees of hauntings in New Jersey personally.
No, we have more historical type stuff.
But, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure the Native Americans are buried around here, obviously.
Sure.
But I don't know. It's different. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
I know, maybe.
I agree.
Manhattan, a couple years ago, I don't know, maybe about five to 10 years ago. And they were doing construction. They came up and they found graves. And they found out it was African-American burial ground.
Oh, right. Yeah, because they were unmarked.
They're still working on, you know, getting it together, mm-hmm. you know. And they're not assuming any of the graves, but they're, you know, they're making it into an African-American burial ground type of thing.
Yeah, a memorial. Yeah, so important.
We could talk all night, Al.
It was my pleasure, man, having you on. And we're going to do this again.
Okay, cool.
Well, thank you, guys.
Good night. Great to see you, Al.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, Anthony Simonelli, Jenny Colucci, and Kimberly Geyer. You guys are fantastic, man. I know we will talk again in the future. I can't wait to meet you guys in person. It was a great interview. I love this type of conversations where it's not scripted. We're talking just like freelancing, you know, shooting from the hip. I hope the listeners enjoyed the show. I mean, it was one of my favorite, I think. I really had a good time. I had mentioned a couple episodes ago that I had a special announcement coming up. Well, I'm putting that on hold until end of May. I have some changes I'm going to be going through. I can't wait to share that with y'all. It's going to be a fun year. I really do believe that. I have some Paracons I'm looking at of attending, a couple book signings, some good stuff coming up. Thank you for hanging in there. Thank you for listening to part two of my Seekers Chronicles episode. I'll be back next week with another great episode on Ghost in the Valley podcast.